left off last week, we just began to discuss the halachas of Avelus on Shabbos. And basically, the way the Gemara and the Rishon come to the conclusion is that Avelus on Shabbos is no partially, namely Avelus Shabbatzin, a private Avelus is no on Shabbos. Avelus Shabbatzin, a public manifestation of Avelus, of course, is not no on Shabbos. Where do you draw the line? What's called public? What's called private? So we already pointed out last week that there are certain things that are objectively public and private, and other things that are subjective. We gave some of the examples in terms of learning, that sometimes Limud HaTorah is considered to be fahasya, sometimes not. That was the basic guidelines. When we speak about Avelus not taking place on Shabbos, at least public Avelus not on Shabbos, when exactly does Shabbos start for these purposes? So the Gemara in the end of Maseches Megillah speaks about the undoing of the Kriyas Amita. We mentioned a few weeks ago that in the days of Chazal, they would have the practice of turning over the beds. Flipping over the beds was a sign of Avelus. The Gemara says that's for sure a problem on Shabbos. That's Avelus for Fahasya. So you have to flip the beds back into place before Shabbos begins. When do you do it? So the Gemara speaks about doing it in a mincha. The Gemara talks about doing it hours and hours before Shabbos begins. So the Meiri and that Gemara says, don't make the mistake, like some people did, don't make the mistake to think that what Chazal are telling us that Friday afternoon no Avelus takes place. There's no such thing. All the Gemara means is that it takes a long time to go flip all the beds back. Remember we mentioned a few weeks ago that in the days of Chazal, so they used to flip all the beds, even the beds that the Avelus themselves wouldn't sleep on. We weren't exactly sure why that was so, but that's the Gemara of the Farish, that you would go for all the beds in the house. So that could take hours and hours till you flip everything back. So if you're going to start 5 minutes before Shabbos, it's not going to happen. So therefore, Chazal permitted you to start to, in effect, unravel, to undo the Avelus hours beforehand. But what about things that don't take all that long? Taking off shoes, switching your shirt, it takes 5 minutes. So there's no head to put your shoes back on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to do it right before Shabbos. That's what the post can point out. That there was a mistake in minhag. Because Chuvin Yerder quotes it was a mistake in minhag that people think that if the chatzelus and erev Shabbos, Avelus doesn't apply anymore. There is no cutoff point. There is no exact time when Avelus ends. It's as close as is necessary to get ready for Shabbos. It depends who you are. Some people take a long time, some people take a short time. So whenever you're about to get ready for Shabbos, so then the Avelus is put on hold. At least the Avelus for Hesia is put on hold. The Poskim discuss about, practically speaking, how some of this plays out. Let's say an Avel is going to shul on Friday night. So sometimes the Avel will make a minion for him in the house Friday afternoon, sometimes not. Let's say the Avel is going to shul Friday night. So it's not yet Shabbos. So can he go to shul with the shoes on? So according to the Meiri, he's saying maybe not. Maybe he has to wear his sneakers until he gets to shul. He should carry his shoes with him, and right before Shabbos starts, and then he should switch. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying, no. Rav Shlomo is quoted as saying, you're ready. Mamish going and then he's walking across the street to shul. That's already close enough. You're not mechuf to drive the whole world crazy. So you can already put your shoes on. You're ready that you're ready walking to shul. So I remember when I was in Avel. It's hard to bring a ride for me, it was very easy. So remember, we had Davin Mincha earlier, and then I was standing here and waiting, and right before Kabbalah Shabbos time was, so it was ready, it was this time of year, it was in May, so I think it was ready to play down with the early minion. So we're not talking about that in a minute, whether you even allowed down with the early minion. So I remember I was standing outside during Luchot Arava, that's the minhag is, and I was standing with my sneakers on. So it wasn't Shabbos, it was an hour and a half before Shkia. So I thought right before they were getting to Lachadodi, right before I was going to go in, so then I mamash took off my shoes and I took off my sneakers, put on my shoes at that point. But people don't have that availability. So I think the minhag is probably like Rosh Hashanah. I think they're available to go to shul with their shoes on. Yeah, we can get that. Where that comes from. So this, we'll see in a second when we talk about the early minyan, late minyan. So the post can discuss, when we say that you have to wait until very close to Shabbos, does the person have a right to make an early Shabbos? It's the middle of the summertime, he wants to make early Shabbos. Or it's the middle of the wintertime, he wants to make early Shabbos. Are you allowed to do that? Is that considered like chopping away at the spheres, like chopping away at the Avelus? So the Pesach Shuv also quotes a machlekes about this. Some poskim say that you shouldn't really make early Shabbos when you're in Avelus. That's supposed to circumvent the Avelus. You stay in Avelus. Until the Avelus is over. So the poskim write that what that means is like this. It means you shouldn't make like unduly early Shabbos. You shouldn't make a crazy early Shabbos. Something that would, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't do. So that's not appropriate. So the Pesach Shuv quotes in Echrodim that you shouldn't make such an early Shabbos like before Mincha Ketana. To start Shabbos at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that's not right. So I never understood that one. We start Shabbos. You can never do that. There's no such thing as starting Shabbos at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't understand what that meant. the Gemara says that the Rishonim interpret the Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachas, you can only make early Shabbos a plaga mincha onwards. That's how we pass in Lahalacha. That's how we pass it. The women are not allowed to bench lap before a plaga mincha. You can make an early Shabbos at 4 o'clock if Shti is at 8 o'clock. So I never understood exactly what that meant. So the Pesach Shuvah writes in a Chazanet that as long as you're being Makabel Shabbos at a fairly normal time, and you usually do, the Tzibu usually does, it's not crazy, so then that's okay. Then there's nothing wrong with doing that even in the week of Shivas. That's what the minig is. When we make early Shabbos, that's not crazy. We do that time every, the whole supper people do that time. So that's what I did. It was a Makabel Shabbos early, but it wasn't 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was 6:30, whatever the normal time at the end of May was. So I think that that's perfectly okay. There is a minig, there's an old minig that we have, that when the Ovel walks into shul, he doesn't come in for Lechadodi. He walks in right after Lechadodi, right from his Mashiach, so everybody comes and greets him with saying Hamakim Rachim Eschem. So that's a little bit of a strange minig, the way it's played out this Zman Hazeh, because that was true in the olden days. In Europe, they used to always make early Shabbos. It was dark outside, and always, even in the wintertime, they would start Shabbos a little bit earlier. So they would daven Meirah before it was actually dark. So you daven Meirah before it's dark, so you're saying B'z Mashiach, maybe Yod Yom. So right before you Makabel Shabbos, that's the right time to be Menachem Ovel. Whereas in our shuls, we daven Mincha, 10 minutes before Shkia. Those are the good shuls, 10 minutes before Shkia. And then the time they get to Lechadodi, it's already 10-15 minutes after Shkia. Shabbos has already started. So what he's saying, Hamachem Menachem Eschem for, you're not really supposed to be Menachem Ovel on Shabbos. The Gemara says in the first part of Shabbos that you're allowed to be Menachem Ovel on Shabbos, but you have to say it in a different lashon. You're not supposed to say regular standard Hamachem Menachem. You're supposed to say Shabbos Yimei Lelachim. The same way when you make a Meshaberech for Chol on Shabbos, you're supposed to be Shabbos Yimei Lezug. You're supposed to emphasize the fact that you're not really supposed to be davening for the Chol. You're not really supposed to be screaming out on Shabbos. It's Shabbos Yimei Lezug. It's a different kind of a tefillah. The Gemara says when you're Menachem Ovel on Shabbos, you could say, do it, you have to say Shabbos even Lenachim. So in the olden days in Europe, when they used to say Miz Mashiach before it was dark, so Taka made sense. You want to chop in the last Nichim Avelim before Shabbos begins. But this man is there, when we're doing it already after dark, so then we shouldn't say Mochim Lenachim, we should say Shabbos even Lenachim. That's what Rabbi Willick showed. That's what they do. In the Gizel Riverdale, I don't know, but everybody in the shul does. I know Rabbi Willick says, you say Shabbos Yimei Lenachem. That's what I do also. When I don't say it publicly, I don't want to change the minhag here, but when the Avelim walk in, so I say, course off, I say Shabbos Yimei Lenachem, unless it's in the summer months and it's at the early minyan. In the early minyan, that's before Shkia, so then I'll say Hamachim Menachem. And that's why I daven that Shabbos, daven at the early minyan. I don't want to be machshel anybody to say Hamachim Menachem, Shalok Yedin. So everybody said Hamachim Menachem, and it was still maybe on Yom Chaladez. Anyway, so this is all, again, this is all based on the Biri, based on the Gemaras, but there is no makor, any real makor to end the Avelis early on Friday afternoon. So the Pesach Teshuva claims that this was a common misconception in Europe, which is spread to America also. This minig is slowly but surely disappearing. More and more people are aware of the fact that it's a minig b'tos, but there was such a minig that existed in Europe, and I remember when I was a kid in America, so that people would just stop shiv at 12 o'clock on Friday, whether it was the summer, the winter, chatzos, that was it. There's no shiv in the afternoon, so it's not really correct. Where did this minig come from? So Rabbi Shecht is fond of saying that he thinks that it's 2 minig tosos l'shitosom. The Poskim write that this minig tos probably came from Erev Pesach. The Poskim discuss in the dinim of Yontif canceling Avelis, so we know the Yontif is a different story. Yontif comes, and Yontif cancels whatever stage of Avelis the other was in beforehand. What does it mean when Yontif comes? The Machlekes and the Rishonim, when Yontif comes, does that mean when Yontif itself comes? Or does that mean even a little bit before Yontif? There was some Rishonim who say, let's say a person is in the middle of Shiva, and now Yontif comes. So they're allowed to take a shower. What do we know about taking a shower? So Rashi writes, they're allowed to take a shower at night when Yontif comes. That's when Yontif cancels the Avelus. So you have to wait until Mamash Yontif night to take a shower. I hang and take a shower in Yontif. Everybody knows you're not taking a shower in Yontif. So Rashi says, you'll take a cold shower. So a cold shower, Mikra, and then it's Mutra in Yontif. We have a minig, maybe we have to do that sometimes. But there's not a showering in Yontif Shia. So Rashi says, but to take a shower before Yontif, that's out of the question. The Avelus isn't over yet. So then the Rishonim ask, but it's not true because the Gemara says that if a person is in Shloshim and Yontif comes, so he's Megalech, Erev HaRegel, so he's permitted to take a haircut on Erev Yontif, putting aside the parent issue. He's allowed to take a haircut, he's allowed to shave Erev Yontif. how's he going to take the, how's he going to shave on Yom Tov? You're not allowed to do cold showers, is okay, but no one is going to advocate taking a shaving, getting a haircut on Yom Tov. You have to say that Chazal said we have no choice, that if we're going to insist on waiting until the buzz, until Yom Tov Mamer starts, in order for the Shloshah to be cancelled, it'll be impossible to take a shower, and we'll end up being like a mess. The whole goal was that Yom Tov is coming, the Avelus is over, so the person should get back into normal. So if you can insist on waiting until Yom Tov starts, you're going to be stuck. So that's Rashi's sheet. It seems to be that when Chazal tell us that Yom Tov cancels Avelus, that means Yom Tov Mamish cancels Avelus, unless there's no choice. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say you never have to wait for Yom Tov itself. You have to wait until late in the afternoon. The Gemara uses the Lashon Rochitz Be'erev. So Rashi learns Rochitz Be'erev means you take a shower Mamish at night of Yom Tov. And other Rishonim, Taisus quotes an opinion, Rochitz Be'erev means late in the afternoon. Because when we say that Yom Tov cancels Avelus, it cancels Avelus, but not 8 o'clock in the morning, until Yom Tov starts at 8, so you take a shower at 7, right before Yom Tov begins. You shouldn't take it earlier in the daytime. So that's what that minig is. What the Ramo writes, that's what that minig is that if a person wants a lot of sitting shiva, and then Yom Tov comes, so then the Yom Tov cancels the Avelus, and it even cancels it maybe a yom. But it doesn't cancel it at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So the Poskim quote Machlokes, but what about Erev Pesach? So maybe that's only true that the early afternoon of Yom Tov doesn't cancel Avelus, that's by other Yom Tov. But by Erev Pesach, maybe even Chatzos cancels, because after Chatzos is already Shtichlu Yom Tov. Mishnah says in the fourth paragraph of Psachim that after Chatzos you're not allowed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach. Before Chatzos is totally in the Minigam Machom, but after Chatzos you're not allowed to do Malacha. Why you're not allowed to do Malacha? So Rashi says it's just a technical concern, because there's so much to do. You want to make sure you bake your matzahs, you get rid of your chametz, make sure everything's ready. So if you're going to go to work till 5 o'clock on Erev Pesach, you're never going to get your jobs done. So on a regular Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, it's not a good idea to work in the afternoon either, but it's not also. It's just in a rosh and bracha, the Gemara says. But it's not also. Well, on the Erev Pesach, it's Mamash Nisa Gagamah Midirabbanon, because that you may not get all your work taken care of for Yom Tov properly. And Tosfos says, no, Tosfos quotes from the Rishalmi that the reason why you don't do work on Erev Pesach in the afternoon is because it's a Shtichl Yom Tov, because you bring the Korban Pesach then. So there's a Nisa Malacha, there's Mana Mikdosh. Any day that you bring a Korban, you're not allowed to do Malacha. So because it's a Shtichl Simchas, it's a Shtichl Yom Tov, Deva Chazal Asad Ibn Malacha. That's what these Acharonim are picking up on. According to Rashi, it's not really a Yom Tov Erev Pesach in the afternoon. It's just it's a busy time, it's a hectic time, it's not really a Yom Tov. But according to Tosfos and the Rishalmi, it's Mamash a Yom Tov. The Emes says, Nechumash, it's called the Yom Tov. The Torah calls it Chag HaPesach. If you look carefully at the Psukim, so the term Chag HaMatzos only applies to the 7 days. Chag HaPesach, it's a fair Shabbosah. Rabbos HaYom L'Chodesh Pesach L'Hashem, and it's the Chamisha HaSa Yom L'Chodesh Chag HaMatzos L'Hashem. It's a separate and distinct Yom Tov called Chag HaPesach. We colloquially call it the whole week Pesach. That's the famous word from Lev Yitzchak Berdichev. Why do we call it Pesach? The Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos. So Lev Yitzchak Berdichev said, that Amila Doidi V'Doidi Li, that when you really love somebody, so you always want to talk about how great they are, and they in turn want to talk about how great you are. So Pesach is the description of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He was Paschal Batim in Israel. So we always want to talk about how great Hashem was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never calls it Chag HaPesach. He calls it Chag HaMatzos, and the Chumash is called Chag HaMatzos. Therefore, in that davening, we have no choice. The davening, you have to say the official halachic name of the Yom Tov, so we have to follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's rules. But in our own Lashon, we call it Chag HaPesach, but in davening, in the Torah, we call it Chag HaMatzos. But Chag HaMatzos is not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu does, but Klal Yisrael did. The Klal Yisrael was able to run out of Mitzrayim without any food, and just with the dough, they couldn't even wait to bake the bread. That was a Gehalzik Schus for Klal Yisrael, so Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to highlight that. He calls it Chag HaMatzos. But putting aside the Chesish, but Api Din, Chag HaPesach is a separate, distinct Yom Tov. And it's a little bit of a Zman Simcha, so if some Acharonim write that Erev Pesach in the afternoon already cancels the Avelus. So the person is sitting Shiva, and it comes ready Chatzos time, so then all the Avelus is over. So that's what the Pesach Shiva writes, that people made that mistake. They compared Erev Pesach to other Erev Yom Tovs, and they compared Erev Yom Tov Shabbos, double mistake. So they thought that just as there's no Avelus in the afternoon Erev Pesach, there's no Avelus in Erev Shabbos in the afternoon also, and that's not correct. But the only time there's no Avelus in Erev Shabbos is Otod right before Shabbos begins. That's what the Iris says, that's what the simple reading of the Halacha is. So Meshechta said that he thought that mistake, that people jump from Erev Pesach to Erev Shabbos, is l'shitosam, a mistake about Kriya as well. Mar says at the end of Markotan, Chazal instituted that you have to say a kriya on the Makom HaMikdash, the Yom HaShalayim. So there's a din that if you see the Makom HaMikdash, so you have to say a kriya. You might use the phrase aroa HaMikdash b'chubanai. If it's still b'chubanai, so you have to say a kriya. So Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that the definition of b'chubanai when it comes to the Mikdash means that there's no base of Mikdash there. Even though, say, it's under Jewish control, so he says it doesn't matter. You know, there's an Israeli flag flying there, that doesn't mean anything in terms of the base of Mikdash. The base of Mikdash is only defined as being, is there a mikdash or is there no mikdash? This is in contrast, what Moshe writes, to other dinim of kriya. The Gemara says, at the end of my cut, there are three dinim of kriya. There's a din of kriya on Ari Yehuda, there's a din of kriya on Yerushalayim, the old city, and then there's a din of kriya on the Makom HaMikdash. Then the Gemara uses the phrase b'chubanam on all three of them. So the Magen Avraham writes that, what does it mean b'chubanam? So the Magen Avraham writes that even if you have Jews who are living in these cities, let's say you have a city of Ari Yehuda, so you have some city that used to be part of the Ari Yehuda, let's say, I don't know, a Beit Meir, right? So in the Ari Yehuda, that's one of the cities of Yehuda. So let's say you have a lot of Jews living in a place called Beit Meir, but it happens to be that the Arabs were in control, the Turks were in control. So the Magen Avraham writes that even though you have a Jewish city, but if Lamaisa, the Goyim, are in charge, so that's called B'chobanam still. So you would still be required to take Kriya. So Rav Moshe writes, you see from the Magen Avraham, that the definition of B'chobanam vis-a-vis Ari Yehuda is a function of control, military, political control. So Rav Moshe says he thinks the opposite is also true. Namely, what if you have it's an Arab city, there are no Jews living here, but there's an Israeli flag flying in it, the Israeli army's in charge, the Israeli government's in charge. So Rav Moshe writes, that's not called B'chobanam anymore. The definition of B'chobanam only depends on political control. So Rav Moshe writes that's true for the Ari Yehuda, that's true for Yerushalayim also. But the Makom HaMikdash is a different definition of B'chobanam. The Makom HaMikdash, it's not a political question, that's a spiritual question, that's a halachic question. Is there a base of Mikdash? There's no base of Mikdash. That's the famous split of Rav Moshe. He writes that he thinks that B'zman HaZeh you don't have to take Kriya on Ari Yehuda. Even if you go, let's say, to an Ir Yehuda that's totally Arab, you wouldn't have to take Kriya. Or if you see the old city, even if you're in those parts of the old city that are totally Arab, you wouldn't have to take Kriya. But if you come to the Makom HaMikdash, see the coast, see the dome, then you would be required to take Kriya B'zman HaZeh, notwithstanding the fact that the Jewish government is in control. For those who've questioned whether that psak now is true in certain parts of Nebuch and the Yehuda today, the person goes to Beis Lechem today, so the only place in Beis Lechem people are going to is Kever Rachel. But when you're in Kever Rachel, you can see the rest of the city, and there are no Jews in the rest of the city, and it's questions, is that called under Jewish control or not Jewish control? So it's technically, what is it? It's section A, but it's part of the Palestinian part of the agreement. I don't know what it's called, ABC, whatever it is. So I think it's totally completely under Palestinian jurisdiction. So the question is that called b'chubanam? So you can argue that once the Israelis gave it over, that's called b'chubanam. The other hand, I don't know the nuances of the political agreement, whether that's really considered to be totally under the control. It's not a sovereign state. But whatever it is, but it's not technically belonging to them, so I'm not sure exactly what that means. The Rebbe Shecht is concerned about that. When he goes to Beis Lechem, so he tells people they shouldn't really look. So when they go to Kever Rachel from Kollel, so he tells people they should close their eyes when they drive past the streets of Beis Lechem, so they shouldn't really look. Because if they look, they may be mechuyev to tear Kriya. So I don't think, I'm not sure that anybody else is mocking for that. That's what he thought. Anyway. So we're getting back to the story. So there's a din of tearing Kriya. So obviously if a person goes, let's say, to the Kosel on the Shabbos, for the first they haven't seen the Kosel in 30 days, so they're mechuyev to tear Kriya. They go to the Kosel on Shabbos, so they're not allowed to tear Kriya on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe has a chiddush, Rav Moshe writes, you're not allowed to tear Kriya on Shabbos, but when you get back home on Matzai Shabbos, you have to tear Kriya then. Even though you're not there anymore, you have to tear Kriya, because it was just a potter just for those hours of Shabbos. So the minhag is not like that. Most people assume, most of the other poskim assume that if you go there the first time on Shabbos, then you part to finish, you don't have to tear again until you go another 30 days without seeing it. So there was a minhag that exists, Ariyam Azen Yishalayim, that if somebody goes to the Kosel for the first time in 30 days, they go on Friday afternoon. Many people plan to go Friday afternoon, and they want to get around this problem. So Rav Moshe writes, that there was a minhag in Yerushalayim, not to tear Kriya. So Rav Moshe writes, he doesn't know where in the world this minhag came from. It doesn't seem to make any sense. So Rabbi Shachta said he thinks the minhag is a minhag b'tos, l'shitosam. He says that he thinks that an Erev Pesach in the afternoon, the minhag makes sense. Because an Erev Pesach in the afternoon is a shtichel zman simcha, it's mafsik avelus, according to many poskim. So it would be inappropriate to tear Kriya on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So people made a gzer shavah, Erev Pesach, Erev Sukkot, Erev Shavuos, Erev Hashanah, to Shabbos. So people mistakenly thought enough to take Kriya Friday afternoon, but he didn't think the minhag was correct. You have to be careful when you have this kind of situation. I always try to avoid, most people try Dafka to go Friday afternoon to avoid tearing Kriya. I always try to avoid, that's my first visit to the Kosel, because Mikra din, you probably do have to tear Kriya, yet the minhag in Yerushalayim does not, because I don't want to get into fights with anybody. So I always try to avoid a first trip on a Friday afternoon after Chatzos. One time it happened to me that it did, so I stood mamash like out by the bathroom. I took a quick, no one should see, and I ran inside right away to change. But I don't want to start changing the tempering the minhag Yerushalayim. But one time I came to the Kosel. I wanted to come to daven Kabbal Shabbos, but the Kosel I davened mincha earlier in the day, so I went to the cab. It was late in the afternoon. But I was wondering, I didn't want to start carrying a shirt and tearing and lysis. So I when I got out of the cab, I closed my eyes when I got out of the cab, and as soon as I stepped out of the cab, so I was quickly Mekabel Shabbos. So once you're quickly Mekabel Shabbos, so then at that point, then obviously you can't take Kriya anymore. So then the holiday, even according to the mistaken minute, whatever it is, whatever you want to call the minute, it's obviously one minute to take Kriya. Anyway, getting back to the story. So when it comes back to Chas Avelis, so Erev Shabbos in the afternoon doesn't push Avelis off. Erev Pesach in the afternoon, maybe no. We had several years ago, a very serious tragedy. One of my talmidim was Niftar, right the day before Erev Pesach. It was the day of Birchas Chama. So we had the Levi early in the afternoon in Erev Pesach, and then they wanted us to shiva a little bit. So they sat shiva for a few hours on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Even though the folks came right, the Miku didn't, they don't really have to, because when the minig is that Erev Pesach in the afternoon cancels the Avelos. So here, the Levi was over, it was 11, 12 o'clock, so the Avelos would have been over mamash an hour later. So they were knowing, they sat shiva for a little bit. So the Rabbanim who they asked, said to them, it's a machlekes aboskim. Halacha didn't make a ba'avol, but you don't want to be mekel. You're not machuil. Halacha didn't make a ba'avol, force you to be mekel. They wanted to have a little bit of a shiva, so they had a makeshift shiva 2-3 hours in the afternoon, so at least they could have a mashal. When we speak about Shabbos putting a velus on hold, so it doesn't totally put a velus on hold. It just affects Avelos in terms of Hilchos for Hesia. What about Yontif? What's the relationship between Shabbos vis-a-vis Avelos and Yontif vis-a-vis Avelos? So Yontif, most of the time, Mamish cancels Avelos. That's the Mishnah says, as long as the person started Avelos before, and the Mishnah actually doesn't even say that. The Mishnah says that a person observed the first 3 days of Avelos, then Yontif can cancel. And then the Gemara says, we don't pass like that Mishnah. We pass in that even if you started for a minute before Yontif, Yontif cancels the Avelos entirely. So most of the time, there's no Shail of an Avelos on Yontif. There's no Avelos before Shiva's over entirely. You do have what the Mishnah describes as a koyva mesa beregel. Whatever person buries their mace on Yontif itself, or on the Frishan Adei Goyim, Yontif Shad Adei Yisrael, Cholamoyim, person is mamish a koyva mesa beregel, then the halacha is that Avelos does apply after Yontif. So everybody agrees that the person has to observe Shiva beginning after Yontif. What about the days of Yontif or the days of Cholamoyim themselves? What exactly is the person's status? So they were koyvas mesa in the middle of the Yontif. They buried the mace first day Cholamoyim. Now they have 4 or 5 days. And what exactly is their status? A real Shiva isn't going to begin till later. What's that status in the interim? That's a big machlokes of Rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban. What exactly the person's status is in limbo? So the Rambam writes that the person is no Avelos at all. The Rambam writes that on Yontif is not Shaykh to have any Avelos. You can't have Avelos neither Betzina nor Befrahesia. Mamish, nothing. So for the person who observed Shiva before and started Shiva before Yontif, Yontif cancels Lagamra, and there's no need to make it up afterwards. For the person who's Kovim makes a Beregel, so they have to make it up after Yontif, but on Yontif or on Cholamoy, there's Mamish, nothing. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban writes that, no, it's the same as Shabbos. The person is Kovim makes a Beregel, so they have to observe Avelos, at least Dvarim Shebetzina, not Dvarim Shebetzina, at least Dvarim Shebetzina, and the Dvarim Shebetzina are put on hold, and then everything is put on hold, the entire count of Shiva is put on hold until afterwards. Machlek is the Ram and the Ramban. So in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the Ramban. Paskin, that there is a little bit of Avelos on Yontif, at least the Dvarim Shebetzina are going to be knowing. You mentioned, discussing last week, that there are some Rishonim who say that Talmud Torah would be permissible, even though Talmud Torah is usually the classic Dvarim Shebitzinah, but here the Pesach Tshuva quotes some Achronim Arai, that you can't tell the Yovel not to learn for the whole week of Yontif. Why is that? Well, for a variety of reasons. Some Poskim say, because learning Torah is part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So the Ovel, the quasi, quote-unquote Ovel, is Chayav in Simchas Yontif. He has to have Bosa V'yayim like any other person. So how can he tell him not to learn? To tell a person not to learn on Yontif is tantamount to telling him not to fulfill Simchas Yontif. So therefore, it must be that Chazal lifted the Yisuf Talmud Torah for the Ovel and Yontif. And others say, because the only reason why there's an Yisuf Talmud Torah for a regular Ovel on a regular weekday is because he can at least learn other things. He can learn Eov, Eich, he can learn the sad parts of Torah. But on Yontif, how can you tell a guy he's got to learn Yirmiyah, he's got to learn Eich, he's got to learn Eov? It's depressing. That's going to ruin his Yontif. He is Chayv in Simchas Yontif. So to tell the person not to learn the sad things, because it's going to ruin his Yontif. To tell the person not to learn the happy things, so you're going to tell him to be Mevatel Torah. Lo Shemano Davazem Yerlem. Chazal should say that a Jew should not learn for a whole week. It can't be. The only reason why Avelim don't learn is because we're not telling him not to learn. It's like a Tisha B'Av. Nobody tells you not to learn. You can learn all day Tisha B'Av. Just learn Yirmiyahu, Eicha, etc. Forget. And today in America, I think the day that there's more learning than any other day of the year is Tisha B'Av. Everyone's all the Shiurim, non-stop learning. So no one's telling you not to learn on Tisha B'Av. They're just telling you to learn the Dvarim HaRayim. But on Yontif, that's not really an option. To tell a guy to learn Dafka, don't learn Bava Metzia, Dafka, learn the sad sugyas of Eov and Yirmiyahu, then that wouldn't be appropriate for Yontif. So the different Acharonim are justify the fact that an Ovel in this limbo state would be permitted to learn. But other kinds of Dvarim Shebitzinah he should not do. He shouldn't have Tashmish Amitah, shouldn't really wash himself, he shouldn't do things that are normally considered to be Dvarim Shebitzinah. What is this Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban, based on? What's the lumpus behind this Machlekes? Where the Ramban holds that Dvarim Shebitzinah on Noheg on Yontif, even though the person is not really in Shiva, the count hasn't started yet, and the Rambam holds that it's not true. So the Rav explained that this machlekes is really a conceptual machlekes. It's real rav vart, it's not priska vart. And this machlekes is really a conceptual machlekes, how to understand what the very essence, the very nature of these suri avelis are all about. So the rav explained that according to the Rambam, avelis are not just these surim, it's not just an oval can do X, Y, and Z. The avelis is a kiyum, namely that there's a kiyum of shivisim avelis. The person has to be noyeg of shivisim avelis. Part of the positive kiyum of shivisim avelis is the corollary, is the result is don't do X, Y, and Z. But it's fundamentally a mitzvah essay, so the Rambam actually quotes it as almost like a mitzvah essay, that the person is supposed to be noyeg avelis, and being positively, actively noyeg avelis means refraining from certain activities. So therefore, the Rav explained that according to the Rambam, you're not mekayim avelus on Yontif. Haraya, it's not counting. If the days are not counting to Shiva, so it can't be called a kiyum of avelus. It's impossible to be mekayim avelus on Yontif. Yontif is the time of simcha, it's not a time of avelus. So since it's impossible to be mekayim actively the mitzvah essay of avelus, you can't have isurim. You can tell a guy, don't shower. Tell a guy, don't learn. It doesn't mean anything. There's no such iser called an oval can't take a shower. The mitzvah is that an oval has to be noeg avelus. If for whatever reason the count's not going to kick off yet, so then there's no purpose in just refraining from taking a shower. And the Ramban holds, no, the Ramban holds that a suri avelus are isuri. There are two ovals, a brisket time, there are two alochas, there's a kiyum of avelus. And you count the 7 days of Shiva, and then there are isuri avelus, and the two are not fully zebizet. You could conceivably have isuri avelus in the absence of a kiyum of avelus. That's what the Rav explained, that this is lishitosim as well, about Machlekes the Rambam and the Ramban, what's the status of an Oinein? Does an Oinein have to observe Avelus also? So we spoke about this earlier in the year, an Oinein has to observe certain halachas of Aninos. What about the Avelus parts? Let's say, is an Oinein allowed to shave? Is an Oinein allowed to take a shower? Those are things that are not Asa Mitam Aninos. Is he permitted to violate those things or not? So the Rambam says, yeah, the simple meaning of the Rambam is that he's not yet an Ovel. He can do whatever he has to do. He's not allowed to boss of a yayin, he's not allowed to do mitzvahs, there's certain things that took us aninos, but the dinim of avelus do not begin. Why is that? So the Rav explains, very simple, because the kiyum didn't start yet. You don't start counting the 7 days until after the kvura. So to observe isuri avelus, out of the context of a kiyum avelus, mamish makes no sense. And the Ramban disagrees on that also. The Ramban says that no, that even though the guy is not being mekayim avelus yet, it doesn't matter. You can have isurim without the kiyum of avelus. So now it makes sense that lahalocha and shemurach we paskin, at least the Ramah paskins consistently. The Ramah says that that when it comes to an onen, the Ramah writes that we follow the practice of the Ramban, that an onen does observe to a certain extent, he observes the Isuri Avelos, with the exception maybe the shoes that interferes with the other. There are a couple of odds and ends of exceptions, but fundamentally the onen is an onen slash Avel. He observes Avelos even though he's not yet Mekayim the count. And that's why we paskin also in these Vichos Yontif that an Avel on Yontif. Again, the Kohen makes up a regal, not the person whose Avelos was cancelled before, but the person who's still technically in the observance of Avelos, even though he's not Mekayim Avelos now, but he still has the Yisurim Avelos to carry him through. This Lomdash Avort is Mechalis Raman Ramban, so we seem to be Mechalila Halacha like the Shittas Ramban. But everybody agrees that there is some kind of a difference between Shabbos and Yontif, in the sense that if a person was in the middle of Avelos, if they were in the middle of Shiva, Yontif cancels the Shiva. If they're in the middle of Shloshim, Yontif cancels the Shloshim. The only thing Yontif can't cancel is Beit Chodesh, because if Hashem right, then you'll never have Yud Beis Chodesh, because every year has Yontif in it. But Shiva and Shloshim, so then the Avelos is cancelled. Why is that conceptually? Why is it that Yontif has the koach, has the ability to cancel Avelos, whereas Shabbos, Yontif doesn't cancel. Yontif just counts, does the day, and you move on, continue to count the Shiva. What's the conceptual difference between Shabbos and Yontif? So Taisus has a famous comment, but Taisus writes, the reason is because Yontif has a mitzvah of Simcha, and Shabbos is not as man of Simcha. Yontif is a chasimach b'chayecha, so it's that aspect of Simcha that's doicha, that pushes off Avelos. Shabbos, Taisus writes, is a very, very special day. It's a time of bracha. So Taisus quotes from the Yerushalmi, Brichas Hashem Yisashiv Lososiv Etzavima. The Shabbos is a time of bracha, and when there's bracha, so there's no sadness. You don't have the atzvus. You don't have sadness when there's a time of bracha. Because it says Ve'yivarach L'kim Es Yom Hashvi. It doesn't say V'samachti B'chagecha on Shabbos. It doesn't say V'samachti M'shabbos Sesecha. So there's no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. Therefore, Shabbos is not an outright steer at the Avelos. You can't publicly walk around with ripped clothes without shoes on. That would be a bit of the bracha of Shabbos. But to be observant of Avelos, but sin, there's nothing wrong with that. And also, the count can't disappear. Only Simcha, Yontif has the ability to bump off the count. That's the way Taisus formulates it. So that Taisus is important, lahalacha, because Taisus is telling you that there's a basic conceptual difference in Shabbos and Yontif, and that impacts on how we observe Shabbos. I mean, there's no real mitzvah of Simcha and Shabbos, at least according to Taisus. So not everybody agrees to that. There's some Rishonim who say there is Simcha and Shabbos. All the Zmir say that. There are Rishonim who say there's a mitzvah of Sifrei, we spoke about many times, speaks about an idea of Simcha and Shabbos. So if you assume Kipshuta, like those Rishonim, that there is some degree of Simcha and Shabbos as well, so then why is there a difference in Shabbos and Yontif? So the Ramban writes that the reason why there's a difference is a total technical reason. It's not based on the fact that Shabbos is fundamentally less than Yontif. It's based on the fact that, imagine if Chazal would have said that Shabbos cancels Avelos. So you never have Avelos. Every 7 days has a Shabbos in it. So the Takana was Shivus Yimei Avelos. Moshe made a tikkun mitzvah Shivus Yimei Avelos. So there has to be an observance of 7 days of Avelos. So if you're going to have Shabbos canceling the Avelos, so by definition, you're never going to have a Shivus Yimei Avelos. Elohat, why don't you have 3 days of Avelos? Shabbos will come, and then continue the Avelos afterwards. So he says, that's not how Avelos works. Avelos is a continuation. You stop in the middle, so that doesn't make any sense. So therefore the Ramban says, it's not that conceptually Shabbos and Yontif are different, just practically, the way Shabbos is once a week and Yontif is every few months, so practically speaking it works out differently. So at the end of the day, everybody agrees to this distinction. It's in the Farshas Mishnah, that Shabbos is Olav Erem Hafsekes, that Shabbos counts as one of the days of Shiva, and it doesn't actually cancel the entire count. Yontif, if it comes in the middle of Shiva, the Yontif is Mafsik. The Yontif is Mafsik of Elos Ve'eno Oila. It doesn't count as the days of Shiva. The Kohen makes it a regel. It doesn't count as the days of Shiva. Whether the reason why there's a difference in Shabbos and Yontif is really, really halachic in nature because of Simcha versus non-Simcha, or whether the reason why there's a difference is because of just practically, so that depends on Machlokes and Taisa and Rabban. But at the end of the day, Halacha, there's not that much of a difference. So Shabbos, bottom line is, Avel Shabbatzina, Noeg, Avel Shabbatzina is not. Yontif, for the person who's Kovet Mesa before Regel, nothing's Noeg. Yontif cancels the Gamri Shiva. The person who's Kovet Mesa bi Regel, so then that's the Machlokes, the Ramam and the Ramban. There's no counting of Shiva. Machlokes, Ramam and the Ramban. If went to Ramam, there's Mamish nothing. If went to Ramban, there's the Verim Shabbatzina, which is what the way we pass in. Allah, Allah, Allah.